Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" What an amazing moment that those who had seen Jesus ascended into heaven some 10 days earlier were together in one place as Jesus had told them. The Spirit of God moved so powerfully upon them. He moved them out into the village, into the square, and there they began to speak, but they spoke not their own language. They spoke the languages of those who would gather there, who heard the message of Jesus. The first verse tells us that they were together in one place. This was an obedient thing. This is the disciples doing what Jesus had told them to do. At the end of Luke chapter 24 from verse 46, we read, and Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus then ascended on high. It was 10 days previous. Now it's Pentecost Sunday, the Greek name given to the Feast of Weeks. It was 49 days after Passover, the next day 50, which is Pentecost. So Jerusalem was busy. But remember, even though Jerusalem was busy, the disciples were still in hiding. They were still in hiding after the events of the death and resurrection of Jesus, his ascending on high. There were still Jews who were trying to get the disciples who did not want that message of Jesus to be proclaimed. So they were hiding in the upper room. And as they were gathered together, they were committed to prayer. And I think that's the first thing for us today is it's really significant that the disciples started in that place of being together. Because the Holy Spirit comes to both bring unity, but also comes in the place of unity. As Jesus had prayed in John chapter 17 that his followers would be one, so the Spirit came to that oneness of the first disciples, bringing together those individuals as a collective. A collective who will be set apart and empowered. And the Greek word that's used for that gathering of people set apart is the word ecclesia. It was a legal term. It was a term for a council that was set apart and given power to make decisions. And this is the word that the New Testament later uses for the church, the ecclesia, those who've been called apart and given authority and power from on high. And the coming of the Holy Spirit is the setting apart of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." The disciples were called together, just as you and I are called to be together with Christians right across this world in unity, that the Spirit of God sets us apart as one body. The disciples were together. Verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So the disciples were together, they were praying, and then the Spirit came and filled. Notice here, the Spirit came and filled, not the individuals at first. The Spirit came and filled the place where they were. The Spirit came and filled the whole place. We live in a very individualistic age, don't we, where everything is about me. Our culture tells us that everything is about me, myself, and I. I was having coffee with a friend of mine a couple of days ago in Petrichor, and he was talking about my faith. We were talking about different things, and he said his view on life is this. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you don't impose it on somebody else. And that's the view of the world, isn't it? Be what you want. Do what you want to do. Just don't impinge it on other people. And this is symptomatic of the times that we live in. But I wonder if we risk it in the church as well. When we pray, Spirit, come and fill us, are we thinking about ourselves? As we've sung, as we've prayed this morning, when we pray for the Spirit of God to come, are we talking about ourselves individually? Or do we pray that prayer for the church? Have we made it about I? Because the first Pentecost was not an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on ones and twos here and there, but on the collective, on the church, setting the church apart. The Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, filling the whole house. And so when we speak about the coming of the Holy Spirit, I wonder if we've made that too much about ourselves. Of course we need the Spirit of God to fill us. And of course the Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our future inheritance. But what we see at Pentecost is the Spirit coming to set apart the body of believers that we now call the church. The Spirit filled the whole house. You know, sometimes, you know, people ask, you know, is that individual filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? We read certain passages, don't we? And we read it very individualistically. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Do we read that for ourselves or do we read it for the church? Because what if what Paul was saying in passages like that is pursue the gift of the Spirit for the church, that the whole body together would have the whole suite of gifts, not just us as individuals having our own little ones and twos to make us feel good, but that the church would eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit as a whole, that we would move powerfully together. Not that we all get the same gift, but that we have the whole spread of gifts between us in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through to 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit comes to empower us as the church for the common good. We desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we pursue the things of the Spirit. But I wonder if for too long in the church, we've looked at that as individuals. We want the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. But we forget about the body of the church. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. You know, in the Free Church, we get a little bit nervous, don't we, about the language of, you know, God filling the space, don't we? In a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, denominations that say that the building is set apart, the building is sacred in some way. But here what we see is this: the Spirit of God filled the place where they are. Do you believe that the Spirit of God is in this place this morning? Yeah. Do you believe the same Spirit of God was here in this place when there were three of us here praying on Thursday morning? Yeah, I do as well. Because the same one, the same Spirit is here with us. The Spirit of God inhabits places and people. The Spirit filled the whole house like a mighty rushing wind. But then, verse 3, then divided tongues as a fire appeared to each of them and rested on each one of them. Notice that the language here, this is an illustration that Luke, the author of Acts, is writing to try and describe the indescribable moment that happened here. The sound like a mighty rushing wind, tongues as of fire. These were symbols used to describe that indescribable moment. Because the Holy Spirit isn't wind, the Holy Spirit isn't fire, but it was the best way that Luke could think to write about it. Because it's a sign of the power and the presence of God. In the book of 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah has had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. He's upset King Ahab, and King Ahab's wife Jezebel is wanting to kill Elijah. So he flees away and he goes and hides. And the Lord speaks to Elijah. And this is where we pick up this story. 1 Kings chapter 19. From verse 11, Elijah is hiding himself in a cave in the rock, and God appears to him. Verse 11, God speaking. He said, "Go stand outside on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire, he was not in the earthquake, but he was here in the whisper. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that on the day of Pentecost, something like a mighty rushing wind came, something like tongues of fire came. Some translations say that wind shook the house. But where was God? In that moment, he was in the people. At that moment, the Spirit of God came in the people to empower the people. Just like when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, we see fire again in Exodus chapter 3. The bush didn't burn up, but was a sign of the presence of God who spoke through the bush to Moses. And so now the presence of God was resting upon the people. And as people, we don't burn up, but God speaks through us. Ordinary people like you and I, empowered by the Spirit of God, resting upon us to speak the words of God. The people were together. The Spirit filled the whole house, rested on the people, and then after resting on the people, filled the people. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And why did the Holy Spirit fill them? So that they could speak. To fulfill those words that Jesus had spoken to them that we read earlier in Luke 24, that the gospel beginning in Jerusalem would be proclaimed through the whole world. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And again, we need to be careful not to read this as individuals in an individualistic fashion when we read this. This is not the gift of tongues to edify us, to build us up, to help us to pray, to edify self. What we see here is the gift of tongues here was given so that other people could hear and understand what was being said. Verse 8. "And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" The disciples and the 120 who had gathered in that upper room were gifted by the Spirit with the supernatural ability to speak in genuine foreign languages so that those Galileans could speak language they had not previously learned in order that the people could hear. These just weren't people from the neighborhood. These were people who had traveled. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues, languages, the mighty works of God. The Spirit gave, as he chose, different languages to different individuals. Why? So that they could hear the gospel message and be included in Christ. Back in 2008, Becky and I and 8 of our friends and family went skiing together. We hired a lodge together in the French Alps in the Three Valleys. And we had a lovely time, and we were there for a week. And I, similar to John, had studied French in school. My report was similar. And we were there, and we had this one particular day. We were staying in the Three Valleys, and one day we decided to ski out of our valley into the next valley, a little town called Courchevel, which has previously held the Winter Olympics. And we skied down there. We had a great day. We stopped and had a hot chocolate at the bottom, and we were going back to the ski lifts to head back up to the top of the mountain to ski back into the valley where we were. And we got to the bottom of the lift, and we were greeted with a rather grumpy looking Frenchman, and he said something to us and he waved his arms, and I couldn't understand a word. And we did what we could because we were British. We spoke loud and slowly and pointed and said, we need to get on the lift to get back up the hill to ski down into the other side. And he waved his arms and he shouted at us and he pointed at his watch. It was 4:30 in the afternoon. And we said again, we need to get on the lift so we can get up the hill to ski down the other side. And he shouted something else at us and waved his arms at us. And so I thought back to my GCSE French. And I remembered the most important phrase I'd learned, probably the only one I'd learned. And again, because I'm British, I said it loud and slow. Je ne parle pas français. Parlez-vous anglais? And he waved his arms and shouted something at me that I'm sure if I could translate, I couldn't tell you what he said. The lift had closed. You know, if you can't speak a language, it is so isolating. If you've ever been to a place and everybody else is speaking a different language and you can't speak it, it's completely isolating. God's people, Israel, were his chosen people, but Jesus came for all. And when the Spirit of God came, the Spirit of God came so that those who were excluded could be included. The Spirit gave the gift of tongues, languages, to these 120 gathered in the upper room so that the message of Jesus' death and resurrection could be spread so that all could hear the message of Jesus Christ. A fulfillment of what we read in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for behold, I come, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. A fulfillment of that moment, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, was so that all could hear and understand the message of Jesus Christ, who came in human flesh, God himself, lived a perfect sinless life, died upon the cross for our sins, was raised on the third day, ascended, and one day will return so that we can be with him for eternity. The Spirit of God came so that we could proclaim that message to people who are lost and dying and who do not know that message. And the Spirit of God came at Pentecost so that all people can have access to God directly in their own language, their mother tongue. No longer was it just through Hebrew and Aramaic. Now at Pentecost, all people could have a personal relationship with God because they could relate to him in the language that they heard. The Holy Spirit comes so that we can personally hear God's message and so that we can appear to him personally. It was a reversal of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, where the people decided to build a tower so high that they could reach to God, and God scrambled their languages, separated them, so that they could no longer have a power that meant they could act and move in a way like God. But now the Spirit of God came to unite people again, to bring a oneness that we as the church would be empowered to do what Jesus did, to speak as Jesus did. And all of this is made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the best news of all is that God is still pouring his Spirit out on the church today, together, in unity and to bring unity, in our places of gathering, the church, resting upon us, filling us, empowering us, giving us the ability to speak the life-changing message of Jesus to those who haven't heard or understood. I believe in the Western world, we've made it a bit individualistic. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit was given to empower us as the church. And of course, that means you and I as individuals, gifted, chosen, loved, but to bring our gifts together as the church, seeking the Holy Spirit for signs, for wonders, for revival, but not for our own good, not for our own times of praise, for our own desiring of gifts, but to return to the truth of that first Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came to empower the church that is made up of individuals, not to just empower individuals who might just come together and make a church. The Holy Spirit came to empower the church made up of individuals, not individuals who will come together to make the church. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 speaks about being one in Christ, Jew and Gentile, all backgrounds united together as one, and says this: in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. so much of our lives are individualistic. Even our technology is individualistic. You know, we rightly emphasize the personal decision to follow Jesus. It's quite right we do that because that's essential. You and I, we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But then we're not very good at emphasizing our corporate responsibility to be the church. That's why membership is a thing in the Baptist church, because we commit to be part of the body of the church together. We know we can't do it on our own. We emphasize our personal Bible reading and personal prayer, the personal God who knitted us together in our mother's womb, who knows the hairs on our head, who sent his son for us as individuals. And all of this is true, and it's central to the message of Christianity and discipleship, but it's only half the story. The Holy Spirit came to bring unity, to empower us as the church. He came and filled the place and rested on individuals before filling them and then sending them out. We get very caught up on the personal filling of the Spirit. We look for the wind, we look for the fire, we look for the earthquake, but maybe we don't stop for the whisper, which is sometimes in somebody else's mouth. You know, this culmination of what Paul's been writing about in Ephesians chapter 2 here, it's brought together in these words, in him you are being built together to be a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is a corporate verse. The Spirit was poured out that we, the church, will be built together to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, not for our own individualistic experiences, but to empower us as individuals to be the church. The first believers were together at Pentecost, filled together. They moved out of the house together. They were empowered together to speak together. Those listening in their own languages came together as Peter got up to speak. And then post-Pentecost, the apostles, the church, they did things together. They did life together. They shared their possessions. They shared food together. When they laid their hands on and sent out apostles, how did they do it? They did it together. They sent them out like Barnabas and Paul in twos or more. And the Spirit of God is still at work through the church today. I believe God's Spirit is still at work today through the church. And so he is empowering us as his body and bride to be filled and equipped for works of service. He resides in you and I, but he resides in us, the church, together, empowering us not just as individuals, but empowering his church. The Holy Spirit came to empower the church to be witnesses to the ends of the world. As an answer to the prayer of Jesus in John 17, that we will be one, emphasized by Paul in Galatians 3:28, no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, we are one in Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today, don't limit the Holy Spirit to individual encounters and warm feelings. The Spirit of God came to empower us as the church, and he gifts us differently as individuals, that we would use those gifts together, that we'll be built up for those works of service. And so when we pray that ancient prayer, come Holy Spirit, when we sing lines and songs that say, fill me afresh, when we pray out prayers and ask God to fill us by his Spirit, let's not just pray it for ourselves. Let's pray it for his glorious church, his body and bride here in this place and right across the world, that again, the Spirit of God would empower the church, that the gospel of Jesus would be made known to those who haven't yet heard it. At that first Pentecost, the church was together. The Spirit filled the house and rested on them, and then filled and empowered the individuals to speak. Why? So that we could hear the message of God, as you and I have all had. So in a moment, we're going to sing together. We're going to sing Build Your Kingdom Here. And as we sing it, let's sing this as a prayer and proclamation, not for our own lives, but for the church of Jesus Christ. That we will be built up, that he will build his kingdom in and through us, the church, for the sake of unity and for the witness of the church in the world today. That each person will be empowered to play the part God has for us. Just like each person at that first Pentecost was empowered to speak in a different language. But together, all people who were there could hear the gospel in their language. We are empowered as the church by the Holy Spirit to be a body of different parts, but the same mission, that the world would see and know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you so much for the outpouring of your Spirit on that first Pentecost. And Father, we pray today that you would pour your Holy Spirit out. We join with your church across the world today in saying, come Holy Spirit. Lord, would you empower your church again? And thank you that you work through us as individuals, but as individuals called together to be your church, locally, nationally, globally. Come, Lord Jesus, build your kingdom by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.